I just like to mention that I have an assistant over here tonight. His name is Kot. He is from Myanmar. He's been out training with us, and we have another girl from, or lady from Myanmar here with us. Also a lady from Malaysia. But one of the things Kot has had to learn is how to use this latest technology. And not only is he going to spring, he's actually made up the slides, a part of his training. So Kot, this is going to be a bit of a test and an exam for you tonight. And I'm going to ask a few people what they think of the job you've made of the slides. But I'm very, very grateful for that. Now Kot and his sister Nine have been with us for a year or two. They have learned English. They have done the discipleship course, and Kot has finished the in-service course, which involves 400 hours Bible study and 400 hours practical ministry, and he's in the final stages of preparing to go back to Myanmar. He'll do that in January. He will be going back to one of our hostels there. He'll be married in May to a very beautiful young Myanmar lady. And that poor lady, when she goes to put morning tea out in the house she'll be living in with Kot, she's going to have to put out 70 cups and saucers. There's 70 people living in what we call the second hostel. And Kot, you've got a number of converts up there already. There's no European missionaries in our work. We've trained nationals. How many people have trusted the Lord in your ministries up there? 76. And how many of them are baptized? Yeah, 76 baptized. There are 31 baptized in our last visit there. God's at work, and we're so encouraged and so thrilled. Just before I go any further, I would just like to pay tribute to a very wonderful wife that's been equally in the ministry that we're involved in. I'm just going to take you to six countries tonight, but before I do that, just a few basic facts about GLOW. And GLOW now has over 200 workers serving with us in 20 countries around the world. 12 years ago, we made the decision that we would do most of our overseas workers work with nationals, and we take all the Australians we can get. But we're serving overseas with mainly nationals, and we are bringing key people to Australia to train, and then we help them begin discipleship and ministry training centres in the countries they go back to. So they train the people, their own people, in their own context. And it's proved to be very, very, very fruitful. We have never, ever had so many converts, so many baptisms, and so many new assemblies that have been started. And we're excited, and we're very, very positive about it all. We work within the boundaries of the Christian Brethren, and we are just in the process of entering three new countries. Two of them are in Central Asia. And we've had the joy of having 10 new missionaries join us this year, and there'll be probably another two to come. Now, they are four of them are in Australia, but the other three are in the three that we're entering. They're all alone in one sense at this point in time, but there'll be others joining them. God is at work. We're excited. There are great spiritual results. We'll take a Bible reading, and we'll read a couple of missionary passages, Matthew 28 and verse 18 to 20. Jesus speaking to the disciples after his resurrection. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you unto the end of the world." And then Paul's ministry is recorded in Acts chapter 14, reading from verses 21. It's Paul and Barnabas. "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must pass through tribulation to enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and they had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." And I want to simply say that Globe Ministries bases a lot of its ministry on the Lord's great commission of going, of making disciples, of baptizing, and of teaching. We follow in many places the strategy of the Apostle Paul, as laid out in Acts 14:21-23, where Paul and his co-workers, they preached in a particular city until they had converts. They strengthened and encouraged them, or in other words, they discipled them. They began New Testament churches. They appointed elders. They committed them to the Lord and went on and repeated the cycle. And that is what we are trying to model in our work. Now, our purpose, Glow's purpose of being, is mission. Our training is just a means to that end. And our mission, our training is aimed at mission. In Australia, we have had teams planting assemblies, evangelizing, discipling, teaching, and so on, and planting assemblies. In New South Wales alone, we have initiated and helped begin at least 12% of all the assemblies in New South Wales. Our policy in church planting is that we get a team together, we train the team together as a core group with clear policies and practices, and then begin a church plant. And it's our goal to have elders appointed at the end of 3 years. It becomes an autonomous assembly then, and GLOW continues to help in an establishing phase at their invitation. But as far as guiding, making decisions, GLOW is out of the scene. Then we've started a number of training centres overseas, and there'll be one coming into being in Myanmar by and by. We'll be bringing a new couple to train for them to begin another training centre for mission purposes in their own country, in a Central Asian country. They'll be arriving next year, Lord willing. But as soon as we get local leadership in place in a training centre, it is run by the local leaders in that particular country. We lecture, we help, and do pastoral care, and so on. But we have to be starting new things all the time, or we're out of a job. And hence the reason we're looking at 3 new countries right now. Pray for us. We are excited. This afternoon, when I heard Cedric, I just couldn't work out why Margaret and I hadn't been serving in the stand countries. So much need. And of course, when Ray spoke so wonderfully well of course, I was sort of wondering why on earth we aren't working amongst our Australian Aborigines. And look, there's one thing I really, really long for. I wish I was a young man again to start all over. It's been a privileged life for Margaret and myself. We started off in Africa, and then in a pioneering situation, we've been home, and our role seems to have been training and motivating and helping others go to the front lines. It's been a wonderful life and very privileged, and I'm very, very grateful for wonderful co-workers. Now, Cot, do you think you can get that piece of equipment working for us, and we'll just see how good you've done things. The first one is just our vision, going, making disciples, baptizing, teaching in new assemblies. And then we'll go straight to the second one, Cot. Just touching on Australia here, under the heading of converts, baptisms, teaching in new assemblies. And we take you to three church plants now in Australia. These are our three glow current ones that began with a multicultural assembly in Blacktown. And we've just completed fitting out a warehouse as their church home. And the photo on the right-hand side is one of the congregation. It is a multicultural congregation. There are 8 or 9 nationalities there. To start it, we brought missionaries into Australia, and they are reaching their own Asian people. Now, coming out of that assembly, and this is one of our goals now, is to plant clusters of assemblies, and coming out of the Blacktown multicultural English-speaking assembly, we have two daughter assemblies. Now, firstly, you see the arrow pointing down to a Filipino assembly. Now, to achieve this, we brought a missionary couple from the Philippines as missionaries into Australia to work amongst the Filipinos in the Blacktown area. Statistics tell us that amongst the immigrants, and 36% of the population is made up of people born outside of Australia at Blacktown, the Filipinos are the majority ethnic group. So we had to do something special. We brought a couple out from the Philippines. We didn't know it when we did it, but coming out of it, we've got 5 missionaries, a husband and wife, a son-in-law and a daughter, and another daughter. I've got that wrong. A husband and wife, their son and daughter-in-law, and a daughter. Okay. But the thrilling part about it is that now, there on the bottom left-hand corner, you can see that those group of Filipinos. This was taken not so long ago. I was speaking at their meeting last Sunday. There was over 60 Filipinos that are in fellowship there in that Filipino assembly, coming out of the original Blacktown one. But also coming out of it is a Korean assembly. And again, we brought missionaries from Korea to Australia to work amongst their own people. And they had to learn English. They had to do some study with us. And they are meeting in the Burwood Chapel with what is the remnant of an English-speaking assembly there. They meet together and have an English service, and then the Koreans have a service in Korean. Now, both groups are growing together, and I find that exciting and very, very uplifting. So coming out of that church plant, we're aiming for a cluster of multicultural assemblies, not only in Sydney, but in other capital cities around the world, with their own people being the leading elders and setting the pace. God is at work. And look, amongst the group of Filipinos, there are, over the Easter meetings, there were 27 decisions for the Lord. There amongst the Koreans, 6 have been baptized, and there are others that have made decisions that are being discipled. And so those two churches are very definitely growing through conversion growth. Don't you find that stimulating? Don't you find that uplifting? So that's just a little view into one of our happenings in Australia. Now we're setting out to do a multi-church plant, a cluster group in northern Victoria, and we've just almost finished an accommodation base to provide accommodation, free accommodation for teams and people working in it. And we want to multiply that model of cluster church plants in Australia as the years go by. Pray that I won't grow too old. The cot number 3. We're just going to take you to Mongolia for a few moments. I was there 6 weeks ago. Mongolia has a population of about 3 million. It economically is in a bad way. It was being developed by the Russians, and they did quite a lot of building and infrastructure in the country. They left, of course, at the collapse of communism. It is a modest Buddhist country, but look, you can sense it, you can feel it. There's a vacuum there. People are searching after communism, and in their poverty, there's a vacuum, and you can sense that Christianity is just ready to spread and grow. Now, there's a Dr. Harper who serves in Afghanistan, who started the work there a number of years ago. He started the first assembly in the capital of Mongolia 4 years ago. I spoke at it when I was there, talking about mission, preparing people to serve God and so on. And at the end of it, a couple just got up out of their seats and came spontaneously to the front, and they said, "Look, we've only been Christians 4 years, and a year ago we both yielded our lives to serve God, but we didn't know where, we didn't know how until 30 minutes ago. We're going to ask you to help us plant the second Brethren Assembly in Mongolia." And they were earnest, and you could sense that they meant business. And during the week, we got a taxi and went to a new developing area about 40 minutes drive away. The end of the story is we made a snap decision and bought a church block for $2,500, and in the following days arranged for 2 Mongolian type tent-like buildings to be erected on it. There's a photo of the tent building there, the couple in question in the doorway. And the couple were commended. They've been there 2 Sundays. There are no Christians, no churches in the area. And there were 20 adults and 10 children came after them canvassing the area for the first Sunday. I haven't phoned to find out how many were there last Sunday, but I will be doing that first thing Monday morning, I can tell you, to see what's happening there. But isn't that wonderful? And we'll go to the next slide. The next slide is the couple. They came and talked to. The husband, Luke, is a lawyer, and he said, "Look, God has been speaking to us this morning, and we're offering our lives to train Mongolians to evangelize and start assemblies." And they meant it too. And visa providing, they'll be with us, and they'll be training with us with a goal of going back to start a mission training centre to train Mongolians to reach their own people. And we'll be setting a goal of planting 20 assemblies by the year 2020. It can be done. Where can you buy church blocks for $2,500? Where can you put 2 buildings on it, one for a couple to live in and one for church activities, and they cost $500 each. It's within our grasp, but we've got to rely on God for the spiritual impact. So pray for us as this couple come to us and as we spend time with them and prepare them for the mission of their life. Mongolia, it's open to the gospel, and people are responsive. We're into China, is that right, Todd? Okay, I'm following your sheets here you've given me, and numbered. A wonderful thing happened 6 months ago. Some brethren in Singapore, from the assemblies in Singapore, have got a community-focused project going in southwestern China. It's a farming project. They're growing olives and vegetables. They have contracts for 200,000 kilos of vegetables into Singapore and Hong Kong each month. And what they're doing is they're using local farmers to grow the vegetables. They're getting cash in their hands for it. They're acting as the middle person, and they're building up a tremendous relationship all around the area. And the olive plantation is to, they'll be putting in an olive press, and they'll be selling olive oil as soon as the trees are bearing. They have 100 acres of olive trees. The Chinese government is so impressed with what they're doing that they've granted them 7 foreign visas. And where does GLOW come into it? Well, GLOW has been invited by the brethren in Singapore that form the committee for this project. We've been asked to do the spiritual side of the work and to share the gospel with the workers they have on the farm. They've got 30 workers at the moment. It'll be going up to 50 shortly. And we're to reach them with the gospel. We're to train them and prepare them to start what would, I guess, be called house churches, underground churches in that area of China. And there does not seem to be an excessive suppression for that sort of thing in that part of China at this point in time. Now, already out of those workers, there are 20 of them that have made decisions. 15 of them are baptized. And you can just see those new converts breaking bread. And just a few weeks ago, I squatted down on a little stool there in the hallway with them, and they certainly knew how to thank and worship God. I couldn't understand a word of it, but the spirit of the whole thing spoke louder than words. That's a marvellous, marvellous experience to have to just join in and be a part of new converts breaking bread. Now, I just want to say it in God's providence. It's right in the same language group as Dr. Don Nichols' parents, who were missionaries, worked in a couple of generations ago. It's in the same language group that Isabel Kuhn worked in. And there's a very, very definite feeling that it's only going to take a little spark to get the whole thing rolling again. And GLOW has been very, very privileged to be given a role with all the hard footwork, with all the credibility built up to do some of the spiritual work. Now, a couple with a Chinese heritage that have been linked with GLOW, they've been commended by their assembly in Singapore as GLOW workers to this project, and we'd like to see one or two other people join them. Now, we didn't plan all of that. It just didn't happen. God did it, and we're excited, and we're very, very, very thankful. We need at least a couple to go up there to widen the community project. There's two schools, country schools, with about a total of 1,000 children in it. And the teachers are asking them for us to send somebody to teach the children English. An open door, and we can use the Bible as our textbook if we want to. Isn't God at work? And already, converts and baptisms. And by the by, we're talking about this, the olive plantation, that when some of them are ready, and we say it's going to take 4 years, we're working on a 4-year program there, to get them ready to serve amongst their own people. And we're considering giving them 50 olive trees to plant, so that those workers will become self-supporting, bringing the olives into the central olive press to press, and they say 50 olive trees will make them self-supporting. We are delighted. We are thankful. Let's go to another country cot, and we'll just take you to Nepal. Now, Nepal is a Hindu country. It is very poor. It's a very troubled country. You have read of the Mayas, and they hold large areas of the countryside. The people were not too happy with their king, and rioted, and that happened a couple of months ago. I arrived in Nepal the day after the rioting had stopped. There are Christian churches fall into the category of being illegal. There are, and we're in Kathmandu, the capital. But how on earth did we get there? Well, once again, we didn't really plan it. Somebody else did that. But without us going after a Nepalese couple, a Nepalese fairly new Christian who was a Hindu, he was a Brahmin, the highest caste, one of the most highly respected, was converted, and with the Koreans, he went to work in Korea to save money. He was not a Christian. He found Christ there in Korea, married a Korean girl, but they were with us all of last year. And they want to ask to help them get established and evangelize and begin what will have to be an underground church in Nepal. And there are two organizations that are registered there, but they restrict Christian work. And so at this point in time, we don't feel that we can come under their guidance or be a part of their organisations. Now, to get converts, they've decided Druba and Ruth are their names. He has his own family home in the capital of Kathmandu. There's lots of destitute young people. Parents cannot, in all cases, financially support their families. Some of them are rascals, and to gain credibility, we feel it would be a good thing if we looked after some of those young adults. A lot of them haven't had schooling. Their parents haven't had to pay. You have to pay and bribe. So we're planning to take in up to 20 of them and see if we can't lead them to the Lord and begin right back with converts that are baptized and working towards an assembly. It may be a long shot, but will you pray for us there, and pray that we will be able to play the role that is necessary to encourage and financially support and spiritually encourage Druba and Ruth and their two great little kids. Isn't God wonderful? Start of thinking they're looking for an Australian couple to live with them, to teach English as a means of building up more credibility. Now, I'd like to say this. Nepal, Kathmandu, is an old city. It's absolutely intriguing. It's full of temples. It's a tourist city. Shops are especially got their shelves full of things for tourists. There's two or three palaces, two old palaces that are museums, and look, it's just intriguing to spend half a day in them. And I only got to the first floor of one of them. By the time you read up and start learning a little bit about the background. Now, our Korean brethren are working in Kathmandu. They have started two assemblies. They have what I call a small resort, and they've started a Christian school, and they've got 485 children there, locals that they are teaching, and they've made a great start, and they've built up a lot of credibility. But the work they're doing could be closed down just like that if somebody reports them. It's important to build up credibility in those countries, or you'll get reported pretty quickly. So pray for Nepal. Now, another country, Chloe's been in it for 30 years, and we'll go to India, Cot. Now, look, this was a special experience. We have a team of five Indians working in the city of Chennai. It was called Madras. And I just want to mention two things, two events. One is the tsunami. Now, funds came to hand, and we linked with Tidings, and they started. They said, "Look, we'll look after Sri Lanka and Thailand, and Glow can look after Indonesia and India." And we shared funds and so on. Now, in India, there's been a great result from the distribution and the help. John Pandey, our team leader there, he got involved in one of the seaside villages that had thousands of people in it, but 6,000 of them lost their lives in the tsunami. Can you imagine one village, 6,000 people gone? John Pandey with his team and other organisations, of course, came in with immediate help and then long-term help, and that long-term help is still going on, and that's in the form of building homes. But John Pandey, he's a born evangelist, a passion for souls in the distribution and so on. He shared the gospel, and at this point in time there are 35 Hindu people in that fishing village that have found Christ, and more of them, probably more than that, but there's 35 of them that have been baptized and are now formed into an assembly, and they're breaking bread. Can you imagine that? Now, that's a great result from a mercy mission and following in the wake of the tsunami disaster. Now, look, it was a very, very heart-moving worship meeting that I was there for. I travelled all night to get there. There were some husbands came in without wives, and there were wives there without husbands, and there were children there without mothers and fathers, and there's one little girl, as if we put her on the screen. That's my strong point. There's one little girl about three and a half. She came into the meeting with grandma, and everybody was sitting on mats on the floor. And that little girl, for the 2 hours of the meeting, sat on Grandma's lap. And every time she looked at me, you could read sadness, loneliness, grief, and hurt in her eyes. And I think that meeting was the highlight of my trip. But isn't it marvellous that out of tragedy, there are at least some Hindus found Jesus Christ as their own Saviour. The second point I just wanted to say about India, and there's so much that's happening there, but over Easter, John Pandy had a crusade and they selected an area of Chennai. They'd promoted it across the assemblies, and there were 250 people from 23 assemblies gathered together for a special crusade. And coming out of it at this point in time, there are 40 Hindus that are attending a series of 10 discipleship segments of follow-up. Can you imagine that? And Hindus are hard to reach. But God is at work. And I would just like to say this, that we are involved in ministries now where Hindus are coming to Christ and being baptized and becoming parts of new assemblies and joining established ones. We're doing the same amongst Buddhists. Myanmar is a Buddhist country. We're doing the same with Muslims in Indonesia. I would just like to say this, that God seems to be touching our ministries. And the turning of our work into greater success has been making a policy of doing most of our work with nationals. Will you pray for us? One of our prayer points in GLOW at the moment is that we are wanting to divide my role into three departments with three passionate young couples to expand the work in three directions. One of them to take responsibility for the work overseas, one for our ministries in Australia, and the other to coordinate all of our training courses. We need them desperately. If you can guide us to three young couples that will get up and run with that, we would be so thankful. And if that happens, I might get pensioned off, I don't know. But all I know is this. We are excited about God and his ministry and what he's doing. And we need your prayers, your love and your understanding more than ever. Now I just want to say this afternoon. We heard about missionaries that are having to endure. They're having to be patient. Some of them have no doubt faced courts and prisons. There have been terrible difficulties. No doubt many, many tears and grief. We've heard of a tremendous work amongst our Australian Aborigines, and it's not easy, but they too need our prayers. And I just want to say this, that the Lord Jesus meant it when he said go, and he meant it when he said make disciples, and he meant it when he said to teach them, and he means it when he says I'll be with you always. And I just want to say this, that I thank God that Margaret and I have been privileged to have a very, very fulfilling life. We love him and trust him, and we would just long that you could all have the same experience as we've had. God bless you all. Thank you. And thank you, Colin.